Okay, you're into retro gaming. Buckle up, because this deep dive is straight out of a bad dream if you love old consoles as much as I do. We're talking the Coleco Chameleon, a system that promised to revive classic gaming, but instead imploded in the most dramatic way possible.
It's a story that throws around words like fraud and deception, and trust me, it lives up to the hype. We're
Yeah.
dissecting this train wreck using smoke and mirrors, the rise and fall of a serial entrepreneur. Yeah, that's the actual book title, so you know it's going to be messy.
This book focuses on Mike Kennedy, the driving force behind the Chameleon, and let's just say reading this chapter made me want to grab my old NES and hug it for comfort. So picture this. 2015, retro gaming is hotter than ever, and everyone's craving a piece of that pixelated past.
We're talking peak nostalgia. Original gamers are now adults with disposable income, and the thought of replaying their childhood favorites on a modern system. Genius, right?
Right. So Kennedy drops this bombshell, the Coleco Chameleon, a console promising to play all your beloved cartridges. It seemed too good to be true, because it was.
And that's where things get juicy. This
Yeah.
wasn't your average tech flop. We're talking faked prototypes, engineers with aliases straight out of a spy movie, and a whole lot of head-scratching decisions.
Yeah.
You almost have to admire the audacity.
Almost. The book paints this picture of Kennedy, driven by this grand vision, but in way over his head. He assembles a team of engineers, but it quickly spirals into this chaos of miscommunication and broken promises.
And you know what they say about best-laid plans, right? They usually end up as cautionary tales, especially in the world of tech. And for this story, the next chapter unfolds at a major toy fair, where Kennedy and his team unveil what they claim is a working prototype.
Oh man, here we go. Big stage, industry buzz. Everyone's expecting a revolution in retro gaming.
And instead, they get a front-row seat to a slow-motion car crash. The retro gaming community, these guys are like bloodhounds when it comes to spotting fakes, and they immediately smell something rotten with this so-called prototype.
Let me guess, it wasn't the revolutionary tech they were promising.
Not quite. Turns out this groundbreaking console was essentially a Super Nintendo in disguise. Like they literally gutted a SNES, shoved it inside a generic console shell, and slapped a Coleco Chameleon sticker on it.
You have got to be kidding me. They tried to pass off a SNES Frankenstein as the real deal. Did they think people wouldn't notice?
Right. And this is where it gets even wilder. The book reveals that Kennedy's lead engineer, this guy who insisted on being called Sean Lee, was allegedly building these sham prototypes, charging Kennedy thousands of dollars for each one.
Hold on, Sean Lee, as in not his real name. Okay, now we're in full-blown espionage territory.
Totally. It turns out Sean Lee was actually a guy named Sean Robinson, and according to the book, he had a history of scamming people. It's like Kennedy stumbled into an episode of Catfish, but for vintage gaming consoles.
This is unbelievable. But if Kennedy was pouring money into these prototypes, did he have any clue what was going on? Or was he being played for a fool?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Well.
And the book hints that it could go either way. Maybe Kennedy was willfully ignorant, blinded by his ambition, or maybe he was in on the con all along.
Either way, the internet was about to have a field day with
Oh
this.
yeah, the retro gaming community, they weren't letting this slide. Remember, these are people who can recite the model numbers of their childhood consoles in their sleep. They were about to turn this into a masterclass in online sleuthing.
So let's talk about this online deep dive because it's actually fascinating. How did these retro gaming enthusiasts sniff out this sham, and what tipped them off?
It's a masterclass in internet detective work,
Yeah.
honestly. It started with those prototype photos Kennedy posted. Remember how I said the community knows their consoles?
Right.
Well, they started noticing things that seemed off.
Okay, like what? I'm picturing these grainy photos with red circles drawn around suspicious-looking screws.
Pretty much. Forum users started comparing the photos to known SNES hardware, pointing out inconsistencies in the ports, the cartridge slot, even the ventilation grills. And get this, one user who went by the handle RetroBuster managed to match the prototype's power button to one from a cheap DVD player.
Wait, seriously, a DVD player power button? That's some next-level detective work.
Right. And this RetroBuster character, they became a legend in the community. It's like they were born for this moment. They even created a side-by-side comparison image of the Chameleon prototype and a gutted SNES highlighting all the matching components. It was irrefutable.
Talk about a slam dunk. So the internet is buzzing, the jig is up, and Kennedy is left trying to contain this PR nightmare. What does he do?
Well, instead of coming clean, which might have been the smarter move in hindsight, Kennedy doubles down. He claims there are production delays, that the real console is still in the works, that the prototype was just a placeholder, that sort of thing.
You've got to admire the commitment to the bit, even if the bit is falling apart at the seams. But seriously, did he really think he could talk his way out of this?
I think a part of him probably did. Remember, this wasn't just about a product failing. This was his passion project, his dream. And admitting defeat, especially publicly, is never easy.
I get it, but at the same time, you have to read the room, right? The internet had already rendered its verdict.
Exactly. And this is where it goes from a PR blunder to a full-blown cautionary tale. Instead of accepting defeat, Kennedy announces a Kickstarter campaign for the Chameleon.
Wait, hold on. He wanted to crowdfund a console that was already exposed as a fake?
Yep. The Kickstarter promised a working console, new games, the whole nine yards. It felt like he was either completely delusional or seriously underestimated the internet's ability to hold a grudge.
I mean, this is the internet we're talking about, right? They remember everything. So what happened? Did anyone actually back this train wreck?
Not really. The retro gaming community, already burned once, wasn't falling for it again. They called for a boycott of the Kickstarter, spread the word about the fake prototype, and basically ensured that the campaign went down in flames.
Oof, it's got a sting. It's actually kind of sad though, right? This whole thing started with this love for retro gaming, this desire to recapture a piece of the past, and it ended in this spectacular implosion of trust and shattered dreams.
It's a reminder that nostalgia is a powerful thing, but it can also be easily exploited. And in this case, the internet, while being the very platform that exposed the deception, also amplified the consequences.
It's a double-edged joystick, isn't it? So the Chameleon is officially dead in the water, but what about Kennedy? What happened to him after all of this went down? So the Chameleon crashes and burns, retro gaming fans collectively breathe a sigh of relief. But where does that leave Kennedy? Did he face any real consequences for this whole debacle?
Well, legally speaking, it seems like he dodged a bullet. There were no charges filed against him. The book suggests that in the eyes of the law, he was more of a victim of Sean Lee than a co-conspirator.
So no perp walk. No dramatic courtroom showdowns. I guess that makes sense, especially if he genuinely was duped by the Sean Lee character. But escaping the legal system doesn't mean he got off scot-free.
No, absolutely not. Remember, the internet never forgets his reputation in the gaming community. Toast. The book talks about how he faced this massive backlash online. Accusations, threats, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, it's a harsh reminder that sometimes the court of public opinion can be just as unforgiving as any courtroom.
Totally. And you have to think about the impact on retro gaming as a whole. This whole fiasco left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, especially when it came to crowdfunding campaigns.
You're right. After the Chameleon, it felt like there was this new wave of skepticism, this I'll believe it when I see it mentality when it came to retro gaming projects.
It really shook consumer trust. And for legitimate creators, the ones with genuine passion projects, it made things that much harder. They had to work overtime to prove they weren't pulling a Coleco Chameleon.
It's a shame, really. This whole thing started with this love for classic gaming, this desire to relive those childhood memories, and it ended up tainting the well for everyone.
It really highlights how delicate that balance of nostalgia and innovation can be, and how quickly things can go south when you throw deception and a lack of transparency into the mix.
So as we put a pin in this wild ride, what's the big takeaway you hope our listener walks away with?
I think it's this. Passion is essential, but it's not enough. Whether you're creating something new or diving headfirst into a crowdfunding campaign, skepticism is your friend. Do your research, ask tough questions, and remember, if something seems too good to be true, it probably is.
Words to live by, my friend. And hey, if you're listening to this, we'd love to hear your thoughts. What's your biggest takeaway from the Coleco Chameleon saga? Hit us up on social media and let's keep the conversation going.